Hello everyone, welcome back to the Education for Climate Talks. Today we are going to talk about a report, a new report that has just recently been released. It's an EURIDICE report called Learning for Sustainability in Europe. The subtitle is Building Competences on Supporting Teachers on Schools. So I think it's quite obvious that such a report will highly interest Education for Climate Coalition members. And to talk about that report, I'm very glad to have with me today Ulrike Pisiotis and Anna Horvath. Hello to both of you.
Hello. Hello, Tremer.
So Ulrike, you are an education expert with a very strong focus on learning for sustainability. You're working at the European Commission, as we can see on your background, at the department in charge of education that we call the Directorate General on Education, Youth, Sport and Culture. And Anna Horvath, you are working at the executive agency, the European Executive Agency on Culture, Education on Culture, sorry, EACEA, if you want, and you like the acronyms, which is basically an agency working on to develop programs that are guided from a policy point of view by the European Commission. And you're working more specifically on EURIDICE. So EURIDICE, for people who don't know what it is, it's a network whose task is to explain how education systems are organized in Europe. And EURIDICE is a subpart, if you want, of that executive agency. So this is it for the big picture. So let's focus on the report, a report which I read with great interest, really. And I've learned a lot of things, actually. It relies on various qualitative data on policies, but you will explain certainly, Anna, and it covered 39 countries, and it shows the progress that has been made in sustainable education, which is to be welcomed, but also the efforts that need to be maintained on various aspects that you will explain certainly, and this is why it's very interesting. I will just focus on the last sentence of the executive summary, and then give the floor to Ulrike first. The last sentence of executive summaries goes like that. These key findings point to the need for comprehensive policies to promote sustainability at European schools and for stronger actions to support teachers and schools in providing all students with the opportunity to develop their competences in this domain. We understand there are still things to be done, and that's what we're going to discuss together today. And I will first give you the floor, Ulrike, so that you can explain why the European Commission wanted to have such a report. What was the rationale? And why does it matter, really? Please, Ulrike, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Tremer. So you see, I'm a policymaker. I deal, I make, I discuss education policy. And for policy to be good and meaningful, not just sustainability education, but in general, of course, policy needs data, it needs research, it should be informed by research. But also, especially when we look at the field of sustainability education and competences, data so far is pretty scarce and also not necessarily unified. And looking at Europe, so the region that I'm dealing with, there has so far indeed been little data collection going on when it comes to learning for sustainability. Of course, we hear many good and interesting initiatives and projects in relation to learning for sustainability. But what has indeed been missing is a good overview that reflects the status quo on how learning for sustainability has been integrated into curricula, which competences are covered, and how and what support is available for schools and also for teachers to advance learning for sustainability. So this is indeed crucial to identify what works well, also where the gaps are and how policy can respond to that. So this is why we wanted this report. And of course, also we have a policy guidance for the topic for learning for sustainability, which is the 2022 Council recommendation on learning for the green transition and sustainable development. And this Council recommendation calls on member states and also on the Commission to inform on and to share on progress on learning for sustainability. And this is precisely what this report does. It provides indeed a very rich picture of how learning for sustainability has been implemented. And it collects data from the European countries themselves, gives also good practice examples. So that's great because they can serve as an inspiration to national ministries and to other education stakeholders and decision makers to really hopefully take learning for sustainability forward.
Thank you, Ulrike. As a matter of fact, it's a way to monitor or see the progress that have been realized. I thought it was super interesting. And of course, we will share the report with the members so that you can have access to it. So Hannah, I will ask you now to dive into the conclusion of this report. What does it show? Many things. So please, if you can share with us the main conclusion of that report, please.
Thank you, with pleasure. So this URDC report, I mean, as all URDC reports, it's looking at regulations, recommendations, and guidelines of the education authorities. So we're looking at the system level. And based on the council recommendation that Ulrike just mentioned, we are focusing on, in this report, three main areas: curriculum and competences, teacher education and support provided to schools. So on the first topic, on the curriculum, the good news is that sustainability is part of curricula in all European countries. So of course, it depends how and to what extent, but the theme is there. So at least there is an intention on the part of the education authorities to introduce topics and competencies in relation to learning for sustainability. And what is also quite positive is that in most countries, this is aimed to be done in a cross-cutting and interdisciplinary manner, which means that sustainability is part of most or all subjects, or even additional modules or projects that are meant to be interdisciplinary and outside the traditional subject division. In some cases, there are some countries where sustainability or sustainable development is a subject of its own, but it's relatively rare. And in most cases, it's an optional subject at secondary level. So not all students will learn or study it. The only country where it's a compulsory subject actually at primary level is Cyprus. Then we were also looking at the competencies, the some of the sustainability competencies that are mentioned or developed by the European Commission's competence framework, which is labeled as Green Comp. So in this Green Comp, there are basically four broad areas that try to develop the competencies. So these four areas are embodying sustainability values, embracing complexity in sustainability, envisioning sustainable futures, and acting for sustainability. Now, what we saw when we analyzed the curricula is that the first two are much more present than the last two. So especially sustainable futures and futures literacy, which is about developing scenarios and trying to see what kind of steps are needed to ensure a sustainable future. That's a bit the weak point in Europe in general. Also regarding the action competencies, they are mostly concentrated at secondary level, so they are less present at primary level, and they are more focusing on individual action, individual responsibility, and a bit less on the collective and political and social responsibility part. But all in all, we see that there are many, many curricular reforms taking place, trying to add more and more content on sustainability. At the same time, when looking at regulations and guidelines for teacher education, there sustainability is less present. So obviously, teacher education institutions are autonomous, so we didn't look at the actual curricula of the teacher education institutions, but certainly when it comes to the top level or system level guidelines, the sustainability theme and competencies, they are less present. So they are there for less than half of the countries. Also for the kind of training offer for practicing teachers, that they are more content on sustainability, but then these trainings are not mandatory. So we don't know how many teachers actually learn and get trained in how to teach learning for sustainability or sustainability topics. And we also see that only very few systems provide specific training in sustainability leadership, which is also crucial. Then, but beyond these traditional topics of curriculum and teachers and teacher support, we also know that sustainability is a learning for sustainability is a kind of transformative process that requires that the students live sustainably in the school. So we need to transform the schools themselves in order to have this transformative process full and complete. So what we were looking at is whether authorities provide guidance and support for schools to develop a whole school approach. And indeed, this kind of guidance is there for the most of the countries. So around 2/3 of the countries, we see that there is some support given to schools in terms of publishing materials, organizing webinars, organizing networking opportunities for schools in order to go towards this whole school approach towards sustainability. It's also interesting to highlight the importance of sustainability school programs or labels or school labels. So what is also nice to see is that the International Eco Schools program operates in most European countries, but it's also almost half of the countries develop their own school sustainability school program and labels. And that allows maybe schools to spread and participate in a larger scale. Lastly, we were also looking at a bit the dedicated financial support for school infrastructure, and that's a bit less present. So when we looking at, I mean, not broad financing guidelines, but the dedicated support that schools can receive for school gardens or cycling facilities or other small scale infrastructure, that is certainly a minority of the countries that provide such kind of funding, and it's usually by application. So it requires a strong school leadership in order to apply for this kind of funds. So maybe that's a good first start, and then we can continue talking.
Thank you, precisely. Thank you so much for that. Super interesting, and precisely that's what I would like to ask you, to both of you now, to discuss a bit this result, to understand what we can draw in terms of conclusion from these results and think about the next step. I was fascinated by what you were telling us on the fact that future literacy might not be maybe tackled enough. Also that individual actions is more tackled than collective one. I would be interested to learn more about political agency also, because it's an important one. I will, before leaving you the floor, Ulrike, to discuss these results, I will repeat one of the sentences of this report, which is a bit of a conclusion of what you said, Anna, where we understand that there are progresses that are very positive and they've got to be absolutely welcome, but there are also things to be done. So that sentence is going like that. Overall, our research findings show that there is some financial and non-financial support in place for learning for sustainability. That's good. But for the time being, this type of support remains limited. That's not good. So let's discuss that and think how we could maybe help also education system tackle a better sustainable education. Ulrike, please.
Thank you, Tremeur. Well, first of all, let me say that this report, or let me repeat it, because I said it also at the beginning, is really something that we had been waiting for, because it really helps with policy making, and also I hope and I think it's the beginning of a more regular monitoring, so that we can adapt and improve policy and practice, obviously, as well. Now, as Anna explained, the reporting, the data collection looks, I think, primarily at input level. So we know what is going into the education system in terms of intentions of regulation of policy, what, but we don't yet have such a good idea of about what is coming out of it. So do students really develop the competences that we would like them to develop in relation to sustainability? And this is also something, in a way, in my work I meet a lot of students, I meet policymakers, and this is also what I hear then. Okay, it's wonderful, and this is what the report confirms, that this is covered in all the curricula in Europe, we can say that. So that also means that the priority and the importance of learning for sustainability is higher now than it was in the past. And this is really, I'm really glad to hear. But then again, how is it covered then in practice? You know, is it always put into practice as we would like it to be put into practice? And what Anna mentioned, the in relation to futures thinking, I think is a good example, because as you said, it's probably the least covered at school education. And it's not so surprising for me to hear that, because you know, schools and education, they are usually backward looking. So we learn about past events, we learn about established facts, but there is little discussion of how this can be used for the future, or even how to develop future scenarios and even like alternative future scenarios. This, in a way, we leave it to the young people to figure out themselves. But at the same time, school is precisely the place where this should be practiced, because it's those young people, it's the teenagers who are really futures oriented themselves. I mean, they think with their heads, they are always in the future already. So it's actually kind of an easy gain in a way for teachers, because they are centered anyway on future events, future developments that matter to them personally, but also in a bigger way. But yeah, as I said, to the teachers, to us older adults, it doesn't come naturally. And also for the teaching itself, of course, it requires creativity. It requires a kind of forward thinking and out of the box thinking that I think we don't cover at school, and we also don't cover at teacher education so far. So this is really something where more needs to be done, and also Anna mentioned it in general for teacher education, more needs to be done to have learning for sustainability. But also, if we look at this precise example of futures thinking, there's still a lot of ground to cover, I think. We have actually, and since you said maybe to mention, just we have a good example. The Commission has developed a nice online MOOC, so-called Futures Forward, together with TED-Ed, which gives a really good idea of what futures thinking is and how you can also actually apply it in practice.
Thank you for your words, Ulrike, in particular about the fact, and I'm talking here as a former teacher, but there's always a huge discrepancy between rules and schemes, and of course, that might be applied at system level on what's happening really in the class, which is what matters in the end, of course. But for that, we will also need other sort of evaluation to be able to monitor the progress realized really in terms of learning. So thank you for that. Anna, Ulrike was explaining that what you said before, that there are some different competences covered, and maybe certain, and in particular the one related to future literacy, are not a bit missing sometimes, which is a key one, because envisioning future is something which is crucial if you want to have a sustainable world, of course. Can you maybe say a bit more on that, and also maybe tackle also the issue of political agency, the action competences that are absolutely key in terms of sustainable education, please?
Yes, so indeed, this one, when we looked at the curricula, futures literacy, we were really looking for the keywords, whether there is this kind of future orientation that is explicit in the curriculum, and whether there is any sort of scenario building or futures thinking. And that's, yeah, as I said before, that's what's very rare. Even if it's there, it's usually super brief and short. So there are not so many, it's not very elaborated as a competence, or there are not so many elaboration on this topic in the curricula. On the political action, I mean, there's a lot. And so there are basically two types of competencies that we were looking at: the sort of passive, about the political knowledge and how the political system works and how one can potentially understand the policymaking process, what is the responsibility of the different actors. And then there is the active competence, which is how we can ourselves influence the system and how we can ourselves make change possible. So the second one is the one that is less covered. So the knowledge is more there than the action. And when it comes to action, it's often small actions like, okay, recycling is there, or how do I change my own behavior and take the bus instead of driving a car? Those are covered. But when it comes to, it's the individual's responsibility in changing things. It's mostly there at secondary level. But what curricula don't cover as well is when it's this kind of social aspect of it, that we are responsible for a sustainable future together, and how this collective and social and political responsibility works, and how collectively we can change the system. That's a bit less. And also research shows that teachers don't think it's doing some more anthropological research, that teachers don't think that it's for the school to teach this kind of social collective behavior. It's more the individual that they're targeting and less the social. So that's also interesting to compare with teachers' beliefs and the curricula that they're usually covering.
Thank you for that, Anna. Ulrike, you want to have a last word?
Maybe just to say that, I mean, you saw it now with Anna, with me, the report really also for me started a reflection process on what needs to be done. And I think this is what a good report is about. It doesn't necessarily need to provide all the answers and the solutions, but really to help us reflecting on possible answers and ways forward. So futures literacy, maybe.
Perfect conclusion. That's exactly what we want to do. It's to also to feed the debate on the reflection with Education for Climate Coalition. So we will share, of course, the link to the report. I thank you very much again, Anna and Ulrike, for your very interesting insights. And à la prochaine fois. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.